Amen. Well, if you please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time now, we're going to be in the book of Daniel, and we're going to be starting in chapter 2, verses 20 to 21. We're starting a new series this morning. We're going to be working our way through the book of Daniel. We're calling our series Daniel Stories and Visions. And I'll tell you more about that in the message in just a bit. But, you know, the stories of Daniel, they're well known. Even school children know the stories of Daniel. The visions, they task the minds of even the greatest Bible scholars, but it's part of God's Word, and so we're going to look at it all together over the next number of months. Daniel is an amazing book of prophecy, as well as history, and it's vitally important, not only for understanding the Old Testament, but as we'll learn a little bit later, also for understanding the New. And so we're going to be working our way verse by verse through the whole book over the next couple months. But these verses in Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, they serve as a wonderful, really a theme passage for the whole book. So that's where we're going to get started this morning. Please stand with me now for the reading of God's Word. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at these verses and as we begin to look at the book of Daniel this morning, God, I pray that you would just speak to us, encourage our hearts. Help us to learn and understand, especially as we look at a number of things this morning that are going to help us in the weeks to come. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. There's an outline in your worship guide. I would really encourage you to take it out today. I know I say that every week, but you're really going to want to have that out today. Because today we're going to be introducing the book of Daniel. So a little different type of message than usual, a lot of content, a lot of background, but this is going to be very important in the weeks to come as we work our way through the various chapters in the book of Daniel. So why start with an introduction? Why not just jump right into the text? You'll notice that many study Bibles, if you have a study Bible, and most commentaries will start with an introduction to a book of the Bible before diving into the text itself. And the reason why, it's helpful to know the background of the book you're reading before you start studying it. And when you study a book like Daniel, it is extremely important to know the background of the book. And without knowing the background, you're more likely to make mistakes in your interpretation of the text and in your application of its principles to modern life today. For example, those who believe that Daniel was written after the events it prophesies, we're going to talk about that. That's not true, but those who believe that it was written after the events it prophesies, they miss out. They miss out on the wonder of worshiping a God who is sovereign over all history and who knows the beginning from the end. And so it's very important to know this background. So what are some of the things you should know before we jump into the book of Daniel? Well, you should know some of the reasons why it's good to study this book. You should know something about Daniel's structure. You should know something about the historical situation. You should understand the genre or style of the book. Very important when it comes to Daniel. And then, of course, you should know the main themes. And that way you can be watching out for these themes as we go through the book together. We want to be good students of God's Word. And God has not only given us His Word, He's also given us the tools to study His Word that we may better understand what He desires to communicate to us through His Word. And so today we're going to take a closer look at the background of Daniel together. And you'll notice first up on your outline sheet today, why? Why study the book of Daniel? Well, one obvious reason is it's a book of Scripture, right? It's Scripture. It's part of the Bible. And so this is part of what God has revealed to us. It's part of what God wants us to know. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so we always want to be in God's Word. We always want to be studying His Word. But then what are some of the specific reasons for studying this particular book of the Bible. In other words, what specific contributions does the book of Daniel make to the scriptures as a whole? Let me share with you four reasons why it's important for us to study the book of Daniel. First of all, it is an important book of prophecy in the Old Testament. Now, you've got 17 prophetical books in the Old Testament. These books, we don't get into them as often as a lot of the other parts of the Bible, but these books are vital, not only for understanding God's plan for the ages, but then also for understanding our role in God's plan, and then how we should live our lives now in light of God's plan. And so that's the first reason why we should study the book of Daniel. It is an important book of prophecy in the Old Testament. Secondly, it is frequently referenced in the New Testament. Some people say, I don't read a lot of the Old Testament, but I read a lot of the New. Well, a lot of the Old is quoted in the New. In fact, Daniel, Isaiah, and the Psalms, those are the three most frequently quoted or alluded to Old Testament books in the New Testament. When you read through your New Testament, there are over 200 quotations or references or allusions to the book of Daniel. That's a lot of references, and you're going to miss them if you don't know the book of Daniel. So once again, the book of Daniel, it's important not only to understand the Old Testament, but to understand the New Testament as well. Another reason why it's important to study Daniel is that it is a familiar yet unfamiliar book to most Christians. What do I mean about that? We're going to talk more about that in a moment when we get to Daniel's structure, but let's just put it this way for right now. Most of us are familiar with the stories of Daniel, right? The lion's den and the big statue and the fiery furnace. We're familiar with the stories, but we're not so familiar with the visions. And yet both are important, and they work together to tell the whole story. And then fourthly, we should study the book of Daniel because it is full of practical encouragement for godly living in ungodly times. Daniel and his friends, they knew what it was like to take a stand for God in a culture that didn't believe or follow the one true God of Israel. You know what? Isn't that where we are today, right? We live in a culture that is not always friendly to Christians or Christian teaching. The Bible indicates that things will most likely get worse before they get better. And the book of Daniel encourages us to take a stand anyway. And it shows us how God's plan will overcome all the evil and all the obstacles in its way. If you want to be on the winning team, anybody want to be on the winning team, right? If you want to be on the winning team, you're going to want to stick with Daniel and his friends. So those are some of the reasons why we ought to study this book. Next, and you'll see it on your outline, I want to talk a little bit about Daniel's structure because it's fairly unique. It's unique out of all the books in the Bible. And the first thing that jumps out about its structure is that it's actually reflected in the title of our series. The book of Daniel presents a series of stories and visions. Now, you've got 12 chapters in the book of Daniel. Chapters 1 through 6 contain 6 stories. Chapters 7 through 12 contain 4 visions. So the first half of the book is mostly stories. The second half is mostly visions. But, you know, even the stories and the visions are connected. You know, the 6 stories, they're mostly stories about visions. And the 4 visions, they're visions of stories. And so I've put this really quick way to visualize the structure of Daniel up here on the screen for you. Chapters 1 through 6, 6 stories, stories about vision. Those are the familiar section. Chapters 7 through 12, 4 visions, visions about stories. That's the unfamiliar section. And so that's the first thing about Daniel's structure. Second thing, unique, Daniel is a bilingual book. The only book that is largely bilingual in the entire Bible. Most of the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. New Testament's written in Greek. But the book of Daniel is written in both Hebrew and Aramaic. And it's interesting, chapter 1 is written in Hebrew, chapters 2 through 7 are in Aramaic, and then chapters 8 through 12 are written in Hebrew again. So once again, here's how you can visualize that. and how that structure works. Now, what's interesting about this is chapter 7, okay? Because in the story's vision structure of Daniel, where did chapter 7 go? Went with the second half of the book, right? Second half of the book, the visions. But here in the bilingual structure, where does it go? It's connected to chapters 2 through 7 in the first half of the book. And we're going to see why this is. It's because chapter 7 is a hinge chapter. It is the central chapter of the whole book, and it connects the two sections together, both in the stories and the visions, and bilingually, and then chronologically. That's our next thing we need to understand about the structure, is the chronological structure. Chapters 1 through 6 are chronological. They start in time and they move forward. Chapters 7 through 12 are chronological. They start in time and they move forward. But guess what? They overlap in the middle. You go chapters 1 through 6, you get to chapter 7, you back up and you retrace parts of chapters 1 through 6, but from a different perspective, from a heavenly perspective instead of the earthly perspective. And so here's a quick way to visualize the chronological structure. Chapters 1 through 6, chronological. Chapter 7 retraces. Chapters 7 through 12, chronological. What do you see? Chapter 7 is a hinge chapter linking these two sections together. And when we get to chapter 7, can't wait to get there, but we had a lot of good stuff to get through even before then, you'll get to see why this is such an important chapter in the book. Okay, history. Oh, everybody says history is so boring. I can't stand history. Okay, I'm going to make it interesting for you, okay? Because the history of Daniel is fascinating, and it's very important. First of all, very important to know, when does this all take place? Book of Daniel covers events from 605 B.C. to 536 B.C., so roughly a period of 70 years. Daniel was a young man in his 20s at the beginning of this period. He was an older man in his 90s near the end. And so it's a small slice of history for the world, right? Just 70 years out of all of world history, but it represents the bulk of Daniel's life. This is pretty much all of his life. And isn't that the way it is for all of us, right? No matter how long we live, we each inhabit a small slice of history, but God's plan marches on regardless. Now, this is interesting. Although the book of Daniel covers events from 605 to 536 BC, it prophesies events all the way up to 163 BC and even beyond. Daniel presents detailed prophecies of events leading all the way up to the ruler Antiochus IV in 163 BC. And then he goes on to prophesy about such things as the coming of Christ, the death of Christ, the ascension of Christ, and even the end times, which remain future for all of us even today. During this, Daniel covers four major empires leading up to the time of Christ. You have the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Roman Empire. Once again, we've put them up here. You can see the years that the Babylonian Empire existed, and then the Persian Empire, and then the Greeks, and then the Roman Empire. Now, Daniel tells you all about these, but Daniel's life only overlapped the first two empires. Those second empires happened way after he died, and yet he prophesies about them in startling detail, centuries in advance. In fact, it's the detailed prophecies of these later empires which caused the greatest controversy surrounding the book of Daniel. And you might say, well, what's the greatest controversy surrounding the book of Daniel? Believe it or not, it's simply, when was the book written? And most secular scholars, and all I mean by that is secular scholars who don't believe in God, okay? Most secular scholars argue that Daniel was written around 165 BC, centuries after Daniel died. In other words, they don't believe Daniel wrote it. Someone else wrote and pretended to be Daniel hundreds of years later. He said, well, why would they believe that? It's because they do not believe in predictive prophecy. Daniel describes events hundreds of years in the future with such precise detail that they say, well, that's impossible. No one could write that out in advance. And so someone had to write it out afterwards. I'll give you an example. One scholar writes this. Now, remember, what I'm reading here, we don't agree with. But this is what he writes. He says, we need to assume that the vision in Daniel 8, so he's just picking out a certain one, as a whole is prophecy after the fact. Well, if it's prophecy after the fact, it's not prophecy, right? Prophecy after the fact. He goes, why? Imagine just being in the lecture hall listening to this. Here's the reason why he says that. Because human beings are unable accurately to predict future events centuries in advance. And that's exactly the point. We agree with that. Yes, human beings are. We are unable to accurately predict future events centuries in advance. But God knows the future. And prophecy comes from God, not from human beings. That's all the difference. And when you read the book of Daniel, when you study it, the book itself indicates that it was actually written much earlier, near the end of Daniel's lifetime, around 530 BC. Why? Well, it records actual events right up through Daniel's final vision in 536. It presents itself as written by Daniel. It was accepted as written by Daniel by the Jews. All those times, it was accepted as written by Daniel by Jesus. Jesus said Daniel wrote it. The language it's written, the Hebrew and the Aramaic, is an earlier form of Aramaic and Hebrew. It fits the times that it was written in. It encourages faithful living in exile. And that was a very different life setting than Israel was experiencing in the second century BC. They were already back in their home. And yes, they were under occupation, but they were back in their home. This speaks of how do you live when you're in exile, when you're away from your homeland. And that's where Israel was in the 500s BCs. In other words, if it looks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, probably a duck, okay? So the only reason not to think that Daniel was written by Daniel during his own lifetime is if you don't believe in prophecy. That's the only reason. If you don't believe that God can use prophets to foretell future events long before they happen. Okay, that was the history. That was the boring part. Did we do good? Did we get through that? See, history's not too bad. Okay, so we've looked at the reasons why we should study the book of Daniel. We've looked at Daniel's structure, Daniel's history. Now I want us to take a look at Daniel's genre. It's important to know the genre of a work for accurate interpretation. Genre is simply the type or style of a work. You know all about genres. I'll give you some examples. In movies and novels, you've got drama, action, comedy, westerns, science fiction, right? All sorts of genres. And as soon as you start reading the book, you know exactly what you're reading. And if they switch genres on you midway, you go, it gets confusing. You go, what's going on here? A comic book is a different genre of writing than a newspaper. And if you read a comic book like a newspaper, it's like, oh man, I can't believe this happened. Honey, can you see what Elmer Fudd did here or something like that? If you read it like a newspaper, you're going to get confused. And if you read the newspaper like a comic book, you read about all these world events. Ha ha, that's so funny. It's a good thing that didn't happen. Well, it did. So it's not so funny, is it? So you got to know which genre you're reading if you want to interpret it accurately. Well, the book of Daniel, once again, very unique, is a mixture of three different genres. In the first six chapters, that's largely history, what we call historical narrative. That's interesting. In the Hebrew Bible, okay, not our English Bibles, in the Hebrew Bible, they put the book of Daniel where? In the writings section of the Bible, where the narratives are, right between Esther and the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Well, that makes sense because the first half is what? It's all historical narrative. But the last six chapters of Daniel are mostly prophecy. That's our second genre. And that's why in our English Bibles, we don't put it with the history, we put it with the prophetical books. And that also makes sense. Daniel was a prophet. Large part of the book, half of it's devoted to prophecy. Here's where it gets really interesting. Daniel also contains a genre known as apocalyptic. An apocalyptic is a special type of prophetical writing which communicates the prophecies through strange visions, startling symbols, supernatural happenings, great cosmic events. Apocalyptic literature, really, it draws back the curtain to look at earthly events from a heavenly perspective. And this is especially true when it comes to end times prophecy. And so you have the books of Daniel, Zechariah, and the one we're most familiar with, Revelation. Those three books contain the highest percentage of apocalyptic in the Bible. But you'll also find shorter sections of apocalyptic in the books of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Amos, even in the Gospels. When Jesus gives his prophecies of the end times, those prophecies also contain elements of apocalyptic. Okay, one more to go here, folks. We're doing good. We've looked at the structure, history, genre. I want to close by looking at some of Daniel's main themes. And there are three main themes we are going to find throughout the book of Daniel. Theme number one, God's sovereignty over nations and individuals. You may remember that theme verse we read at the beginning of the message this morning, where Daniel praised the God of heaven. He said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He," who does it? God. "God changes times and seasons. God sets up kings. God deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning." God's sovereignty over nations and individuals, major theme we're going to see all the way through the book of Daniel. Another important theme is God's coming kingdom, which will never fail. Praise God. And we see this especially in the various visions in the book. The visions which contrast the worldly empires that come and go. They contrast that with God's kingdom, which, amen, rules forever. And then finally, a third important theme is one we've already touched on, godly living in ungodly times. We're going to see this especially in the historical narrative sections of Daniel, where Daniel and his friends stand strong in the Lord and refuse to compromise. And here's where it's important to always to see the big picture versus the little picture. You know, as with most apocalyptic literature, we need to be careful that we don't get bogged down in all the details. And, you know, the visions are amazing, and, you know, and they're terrifying, and we're trying to get all the details out of that, and some you can and some you can't. You see, too many people have tried to use Daniel to predict the precise timing of the end of the world. Okay? Well, that's little picture. That's little detail. That's going into the prophecies and trying to extract out information that perhaps we cannot extract. I'll give you an example. A man named Harold Camping became famous for predicting the end of the world on May 21st, 2011. Let me ask you a question. Where were you on May 21st, 2011? Did anything unusual happen that day? Did the world end that day? Probably not. We're still here. And when May 22nd arrived and we were still here, he revised it to October 21st, 2011. That must have been off by 6 months. So then we had to go through 6 months again. And when October 22nd arrived and we were still all here, he stopped making predictions, okay? And that's probably where we should have started with. It's the same with the book of Revelation and other apocalyptic writings. We can get so caught up in the visions and the details that we miss the big picture, which is this. God is sovereign. God's kingdom is coming and will never fail. And therefore, we can live godly lives even in ungodly times. So that's our introduction. This book is an amazing book, folks. And I hope you have a better understanding now of why it's important to know the background of a book. If you're going to read and interpret it correctly, I trust you have a better grasp of the background of this book, Daniel. Got a suggestion for you. Take this outline. Put it in your Bible at Daniel chapter 1. Just leave it there, you know, throughout the series and forever. And then, you know, when you open up Daniel, you can always get a quick overview of the whole book before you read and study it again. And I hope you're excited as I am about learning more from this book of Daniel as we study it together over this message series. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Daniel. Lord, we have so much to learn. And so much that you have revealed to us. And we thank you that you are a God who has revealed things to us that we need to know. And so, Lord, we just commit this series to you right from the very start. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.